July the 23rd, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihil Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 7 to 8. Prophet, man, mortal. See Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet 7 Heaven. This tells the manipulators of man, no sciences that you can get to hold down the freedom of man. You think you killed the man, but you'll see him tomorrow. The germ of righteousness in man can't be killed. You oppose it, bury it, but eventually there is it again. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 16. This creation not for sport and play. 5 cents sounds like senses. 1 penny is 1 cent. So pitching pennies. How many of you males remember pitching pennies? That with a signal of what was coming. What is 1 penny called? 1 cent. And 5 pennies, 5 cents. So if you try to make cents plural, how would you pronounce it? Cents. So there you see what is going on. Do you see what is happening? And that which seems to be only play? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is in our holy book, to this world and its guardians who pride themselves in being in charge of the world. We were not at play when we created the skies and the earth. Quran Surah 21, Ayah 16, it was not a play game, it's a serious matter. I know you remember shooting pool, you still do that. Do you remember when we called ourselves cats? I remember hearing someone say something like this, later for those cats, man. So Quran Surah 22, Ayat 1 and 2, put 2. It is saying that when God has established everything and has set the world in nature so that you can only get off the course so far and for so long, pretty soon you are going to reach your limit and the time is going to run out on you. When that happens, it's going to be a very grievous time for you and you're going to be shocked. When man puts something together that he thinks is powerful, they're secure in that thinking they're going to be comfortable. Ruling for a long time. Some of them think that they are going to be able to rule forever. Then all of a sudden things go wrong for the rulers and they see the things falling in and it shocks them. The more it crumbles, the more the so-called ignorant people come into the understanding of just what the leaders have done. This is a time for the rulers. It's a shocking time and grievous time. It causes them to go back into their closets, put their heads in their hands, and moan and groan. So we are talking about things that happen in a civilization, things that are close to your heart and your mind. They eat the meat, the heavy food, and give the masses of people the milk, the light stuff. So when that time comes, they are going to be in so much trouble that they are going to forget about striving to hold on to the baby minds. They're going to let them go in shock. Drop pregnant low is uniform ignorance following. Every pregnant one will lay down her burden. Here is one that hasn't yet managed to get a community of ignorant people to suck their blood. They're just in the process of forming a group of ignorant people to serve them to be their baby. It is still in the formation period when that time comes. The shock is going to be so great that it'll make them give up their plans and walk away. Man drunken means leaders thinking shattered. And you will see man as drunken. What does man mean here? In most places where you find it in Scripture, it means the intellect composition of the person, the mind. It means you will see minds drunken. You will. You'll see those minds that you have been looking up to and respecting as strong minds in control of everything as drunken minds. It says, yet they will not be drunken. This means that they won't have liquors in them. It will be the effects of shock. God will have sent boulders of knowledge and truth into the house of their thinking and shatter their brains. It says, but the chastisement of Allah will be severe. Babies in religion sit around praying and clapping, waiting for God to go about some miracle or some punishment that's going to physically hurt people. In our baby understanding, we want to see God get a physical whip, physically whip old boss lady and boss man. The worst chastisement that can be put upon wicked rulers is to break up their minds and to break up the intellect composition that they have put together to rule ignorant people. Then expose them and let the common people come into the knowledge of their superior gain. You ask for one punishment, but God knows how to punish, not you. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 2, pregnant woman drops her load. The Quran, Surah 80, Ayah 37, each one indifferent to the other's needs. So you know the mother and the father, they used to watch over the development of our personalities because at that time the influence was strong. When the church abdicated and stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over that rule, then the parent got away from that and they stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. And all of a sudden now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. The parent has been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening parents' life. The Quran tells us that that day was to come. It's plainly written in the Quran that that day was going to come. The child was going to punish or punch the parent for parental neglect. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm saying it, but it means just that. That people are going to turn their minds away from true reality and we're going to give their lives to the fleeting things. And the failure to meet most of their own obligations was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and blind sensuality. Where each person goes after what satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. Parents have stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. All of a sudden now the child is coming with a bat, knife, attack parents. The parent's been neglecting its responsibility for all of these summers, springs, winters. People have turned their minds from true reality and give themselves a life of fleeting things. Some people striving for personality fulfillment, and they just soak up any personality and impression that comes around them. They are not crazy. That wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious content that fulfill the personality needs in their lives. People who live outside of a life content structure their life and keep before them certain principles, they are really cut off from life, so they don't have any life of their own. Their life is subject to circumstances, whatever expressions come in today. You just become a vessel for anybody to come and drop something in and characterize. Black and African have no stable, constant personality. If we want to describe personality of blacks in the world, it's emotional in characteristics. This is not to discredit us. Emotionalism will not allow you to come into what is called achieved personality. So we take on a cured personality. It's just formed as natural addiction. No plan, no effort to govern or direct the formation of that personality. It just happened under the natural influence. Pop artists can bring out a song that will give us new personalities, while black people, the African also is given to that kind of susceptibility, more so than other races. So when are we going to become a personality true to ourselves? Get ourselves on the primitive level. Blacks copy the baboon, dogs copy mannerism and social traits of the animal life, all other primitive society grew out of that. The Caucasian came amongst him, influenced him, and he copied the Caucasian. Here in this late date, we do no more than absorb expressions, copy, mimic, imitate. You can't act out your intelligence, only absorb expressions. The Quran, Surah 23, 1 to 11, and 91 to 9, Bukhari, Volume 8, 453, Prophet reached its containment of the soul. So if we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. So this doesn't mean you're going to be rich if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It's not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family, himself, may lead him to jail or get him killed. If I get all the money in the world and I am in hell mentally, then I am so am not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. So the Quran Surah 23, Ayah 6, marriage. As a result of these violent clashes, Muslims had many captives. Amongst these captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Al-Islam. So they were raised as pagans, as believers in idol worship. The Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they so desired to marry Muslim men. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayah 12 to 14. Mind, thought, fluid. 1 Corinthians 14, 4 and 5. Speak in tongues. Play man from mean, you have no power to resist God. God tells us in the Quran how he makes and how we get out of that original make, and he shows us again how to get back into it. He says, he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this? Clay. Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material to no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed. You had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says, the angel said, O God, we have no knowledge except what you gave us. Iblis from fire, by my faculty, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, I refuse to bow, God. I'm better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire. He was created from something like fire, meaning I have come into my form by rational activity. I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thinking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up with it in the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right? Just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth and fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all other forms of energy invisible behind these things are now in my control? God, don't you see that even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me? This thing that you're going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and etc. Now you are going to ask me now, bow down to this cheap black stinky mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. Allah's breath is signed in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, ooh, blowing, and man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet prayers and the peace be upon him, through his divine sign in creation. That was his birth. God's man said, I used to be stinking mud, fashioned into shape. I am sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state, has turned into a clean morality. So you still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down because God has ordered, and he says, come liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. Tefli is baby. Tefli is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed a semen drop, thick water, the germ of life from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from a thick, watery semen drop. Nusfatin. When he looked, Job, it looked foggy, but pretty clear. So we can see specks are in it. So the world has taught us to look at as filth. Don't even think semen drops that is filthy, sinful, but God says, look, you are talking about a stage in your development. That is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up the ladder. The lowest that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with, and had nothing but the nature that God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed the nature of babies. Clay in Arabic is Tefla. Baby in Arabic is Tefla. The two words have the same basic letters, T-F-L. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. You could do no more. And just accept and come into form. That is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. So we take that clay and we make any shade we want out of it, symbolic of reminder. We can make it soft, which means soft in the society. And somebody speaks to its politeness. We can make it hard, and somebody speaks to it, and it asks, who in the hell are you talking to? Then somebody comes with a hammer, and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that saw clay, they can come with a hammer, and it leaves an indentation. He did not break it up. He remembered. That indication is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indication all over you. So that hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down. And you have to throw that clay out. What you're going to do with that clay, you can't do anything with it. So sperm is like water, but cloudy represents world's mind. Quran says, then from the clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now a mind has been formed. First, dealing with nature, and mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do not have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But once mind starts to form in them, then you start having problems because you put the wrong things in their mind. So their minds are kind of foggy. I give them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to grow into the light so they will appreciate it. But I never block out all the light. I just a few areas foggy. But when you take over their mind, then you begin to let that keep on going. After making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick water, fluid, or a little life germ from the male body. That's kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it. It is transparent. Then he says he put it, lodged it in a place of rest. Where is the place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does the baby rest? Or she rests when it's in its mother's arms. So God gives that semen drop to mama. But we think he is talking about the womb of the mother. From the male organ or the man to the womb of the woman. We think it means just riding. It literally, the womb of the woman, but it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, the child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. He, by nature, has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with this nature, it is going to develop to a high state. Clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then a clot of blood. Now we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That's from the semen drop. Science tells us that the drop becomes a clot of blood, not a clot of blood as such. But his mind is growing now. It is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no object in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water, clear. But then with his mother, as he stayed there, it begins to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes a clot of blood, meaning that now it has human life. Blood is called the life. So human life is not the physical body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child mind and has brought the birth a human mind in that child. Before that child received that knowledge, or our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do that care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles and it has no teeth. Or shows us those gums. Sometimes the smile just can hardly stop smiling. What is learned from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind and loving. He did not make it sinful. But we begin to feed our crazy, walk distorted, lying, false ideas, and then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little wild, but you are going to be better off. I assure you, will be stronger. We think you know where the power is. The power is in God's guidance. You want power? Just sit here and listen, and you will have power. So blood, life of the body, mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. He tells us in the Quran, after the clot of blood, after we have taken on ideas from this society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that life of the body, the Bible says blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. So when your mind becomes dead, they usually take a wave test, ECG. And if you don't see any signs of activity in your brain, though your body is alive, they call you legally dead. So we, unlike talking about the physical blood God is using, these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge, pointing us to, and it is divine because these things speak perfectly the higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be and how you and to physical and show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, that these things speak perfectly the reality that are in your life. So John 1, in the beginning there was the Logos. The word. Word took on flesh means divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? They're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool, you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard of or ever will hear of. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the logos. It is all logic. So yours is graphic logic. So the Bible says, in the beginning, there was the word. Word is logos. Logic is from words, it says. Then the word took on flesh, and the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into, took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. I am going to solve it, try to anyway. So if I take on responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning was the word. And the word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make growth. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon. Baby, something like clay, but I am going to become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the word has taken on flesh. It means God and divine truth and his message as the word of real truth, real logic. Fetus lump means the mind has been giving thoughts of something else. He comes into our flesh and begins bringing our minds up to a high form, then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. So what is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is a clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? It's in the clay. We mentioned the semen drop, then put a lodge in a place of rest into the mother's charge. Now the clot of blood is formed, meaning the ideas of human society, the life out of our body, our mind, is fed into that new child and give him that same blood, same life. Now after that, God says he then makes a fetus lump, and science tells us this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb, the fetus lump. What is it referring to? Now, fetus lump here means that the mind has been given thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. When those thoughts come into our mind, they are just going through the mind. But after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It's not blood anymore, as clot or a thought that is just in the body. But it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. I come into me. It comes into me now. I have begun to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak. Bone building is an edifice. Divine truth is edifying. Bones means law. But this is not enough. God says, out of the fetus lump, bones. It is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind and be formed to it a clot of flesh. Not the blood that you can just easily wipe the blood up. Blood clots, but if it clots, you can't wipe it up. But the fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thought has been put into the child so long, you can't talk them out. You can't take them out they easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he caused it in the flesh, bones to grow. And this is true, too, in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms, then bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it an edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring, God's truth as a logical argument, we call it edifying. In the New Testament, Paul said there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have the power of edification. Those bones come into, now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition. And that particular proposition, and finally I structure my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me a Teflon, a baby that did not argue, but now I have become an argument. I think I know saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That doesn't have to be right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have become now another meaning of bone and structure is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. The argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things. You call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society. But the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. So that is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some say, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so and so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. Flesh means my knowledge, bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid, mind is like a liquid body of laws, but flesh is something that has taken form. So my edifying ability or my logic or reasoning holds up my knowledge. Flesh means my knowledge. My flesh is my knowledge. I can defend my knowledge, means that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logic or rational argument has formed in my knowledge. Thought comes together, seasoned, and mature to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bone for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, Tamu kalikin akira. Pardon me, thuma kalikin akira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this and have come into bones where we think we know everything, I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. My lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything God says, then a new creation, he has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you the first time is most powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form society naturally before his world went crazy and have all these weird, unhuman ideas? He knows how it is supposed to populate and build up. He knows how to edify. Is to produce the edifice. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glance. So the prophet has worked on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. The morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline, so there is no container needed. It has already taken itself and disciplined. So if there is glass that holds that shape and nothing takes it out unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described. Nurul as glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. As character, as no more like water needing constant work on it to keep it right or constantly hold it in check. His moral had become a glass fixed as God wanted them to be. So Prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. Quran Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of sky and earth. The Quran Surah 33, Ayah 46, Prophet as a lamp, a lamp. Sirajin, Muknirin, Sirajin Muknirin, Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So light, John 9:5, Jesus, light of the world, as long as I am in the world. So we have heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth, and we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here in this, it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a man, is a means for adding that light, for adding the transmission of the light to those that it is meant for. So just as lamp sets in the niche, and the niche itself helps distribute the light or diffuse the light. So this verse is telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man. And his character may help as a reflector of what God has given of his life. If his character is right, his character will help reflect, not east or west, his universal knowledge. So where is this tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa or in Egypt? No, it is a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that's universal, universal knowledge. God has blessed us with universal knowledge. His knowledge is universal. It is not limited to race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. Knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignores material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual. The earth and the sky, where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God, of that tree is the essence of substance, oil, the essence of the tree. The tree itself is wood. The fruit is an olive. The Shriners, they went to West Africa. Pardon me. The Shriners, they went to Africa in Egypt for the light. They went west. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east and not in the west. The West Africa east is Asia. Asia. So west is Africa. East is Asia. Mecca is Mideast. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in a symbolic way, Mecca represents that is not east nor west. But light itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge extends over his whole creation. The knowledge is universal. So Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am in the world, meaning that when I die, I am not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it's not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No. A parable of God's light is the creation itself. So glass is consensus, morals of prophet. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience, the moral high, moral refinement of the prophet himself. The glass, it doesn't reveal something, hides something and reveals some untruthful. Clear glass shows you exactly what is behind it. The prophet's conscience and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out and reflected perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for the dysfunction or message of knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So when we speak of the nature of the inner person or the mind, the personality, the conscience, the morals, moral makeup of a person, we speak of that nature, we call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he had bad character, you see. But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, had the best nature. His had been made right. So right, his nature became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscience, his very nature was as a clear glass that reflected the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. This is the light of God, and a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them. And he himself had become so tuned, so finely tuned to the will of God, to God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as though glass, clear glass, is bringing it to the people. And the people as a niche receives it and they diffuse it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God, through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely turned, by what God commands, that he is no obstruction, that no part of his being is a hindrance, obstruct the guidance or the light of God that comes through him as a message. This is the beautiful sign of that light. The light without the glass doesn't diffuse nicely. But when you put a clear glass about the light, light diffuses nicely and the heat is contained in the glass. The light and the heat are diffused evenly because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the right conscience, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. If we don't have this, then somebody will get harmed. But if there is a glass, they will stick their hand and heat the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet befitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. The knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. Oil refined to knowledge. So the oil itself is without fire to it, appears to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here, oil to the knowledge, this is knowledge. The knowledge is oil, and that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clear burning, and clear burning, not a lot of black smoke. Dust, choking stuff, clean burning. Oil burns clean. No impurities in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive. But the oil is transparent, so which means that it admits understanding. It admits vision, perception. Oil being clear means that God revealed it will show you other things. Olives in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olive in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and the light, the olive, the light, will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has the power to show what is in it. Salak Allah al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We are asking you, the listening audience, to pray for the sick that's in the hospitals. Pray for the seniors that are at home that don't have enough food or medicine. Pray for your ancestors if they suffer what our ancestors had suffered, that God will grant them peace and bless them with the paradise. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.